Let's go, girls.
Welcome to the AmeriChicks with Kim Monson and Molly Vogt.
Molly is a former mutual fund consultant and retirement plan specialist who is currently the director and founder of My Purse Politics.
Kim served as a city councilwoman, is a former investment broker, and now a successful entrepreneur. Now, let's hear what's hatching in local and national politics with the AmeriChicks. Molly and Kim.
Happy Monday, everybody. This is the AmeriChicks. I'm Molly Vogt.
I'm Kim Monson, and you seem a little happy for a Monday.
You know what? I am really excited. You know, it was a really great weekend. It's a sunny, beautiful, beautiful time in Colorado.
So what more could you want?
You know, well, I'll tell you what more I could want.
What more could you want, Miss Molly?
I am kind of excited to see that after all of the dart throwing and the name-calling, the finger-pointing, and the disruption, and the chaos, and the Republican versus Democrats, and vice versa, it looks like some information is coming to light, and we might be able to put some of this chaos behind and get to work on what government should be doing with our country.
Well, there are people that have a vested interest in chaos, and they want to keep it going.
That's true. But I'm glad to see that some people are calling it out, and I'm going to give a positive to Senator Dianne Feinstein in a minute here. But if you just joined us, we're Molly and Kim, we're the AmeriChicks. We're on Monday to Friday, 5 to 6 p.m. right here on KDMT. As far as we know, we're the only duo female conservatives in the country talking drive time. So we're excited to be here and to talk to you guys. And it's money talk. And, you know, we like to talk about issues and bring them forward. What's important and what should be on your radar. Dissect them as right versus wrong instead of right versus left. Because honestly, you know, government policies, regardless of whether it's coming from the right or the left, whatever they pass has an effect on your life, your wallet, your kids, everything. And we want to make sure that you know the truth about how these policies will affect you long term so you can make wise decisions with that. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we do. So today is going to be interesting. We are in the second segment. We're going to play a interview with Guy Benson, who is kind of an oxymoron, or I'd say a unicorn, a millennial conservative journalist.
In
Washington, D.C. And, you know, he actually spent some time in Saudi Arabia as a kid. So he has some interesting thoughts on Sharia law and what it does to hold women down. And I think that's a big deal. And we should talk about what happened recently here this weekend as well, mm-hmm. with those marches. But before we get to that, just real quick, shout out to Senator Dianne Feinstein. You know, the fact that, you know, she normally is very, very, very far progressive and wants big government and backs her party, regardless of whether they're right or wrong. I am very impressed that since former director James Comey has come out and admitted that he himself leaked information to the media, he himself admitted that Donald Trump was not under investigation for colluding with Russia over, the election deals. I think it's very interesting that she said, you know what? And that Comey came out and said that former Attorney General Loretta Lynch had really kind of encouraged him, let's just say, to kind of make his talking points around the Hillary Clinton email scandal, make them match what the Clinton campaign was saying at the time, rather than say it's an investigation, which would look real, like she really probably did something wrong, make it just sound like it's a matter. And the fact that he came out and said all these things really is shocking. I'm glad he admitted them. Now we know. We thought we knew then. Now we know the truth. But the cool thing is that Senator Feinstein is saying, I think that we should now call for an investigation, have Congress start looking into what Loretta Lynch asked him to do.
Well, Molly, and I think your point is a very good one, that Senator Feinstein is actually calling for an investigation. I'm a little concerned. It seems like Congress is investigating everything there is out there, and I would like to see them get to work. President Trump has an agenda, and if you look at the agenda, it is really good for the middle class, for all Americans. And what I see going on is that they're trying to kind of derail that agenda. And as they derail that agenda, it hurts. It hurts our young people. It hurts the middle class. It hurts people that are trying to get out of poverty. It hurts across the board. And so, yes, I'm glad that she's doing that. However, I think that people start to need to step up. And if there's nothing there, which we saw with James Comey's when he testified, if there is nothing there, they need to drop it. But if there is something there, such as what Senator Feinstein is concerned about, then there should be an investigation.
Absolutely. Well, as well as the young gal, what's her name, Reality? Yeah, Reality Lay Winner, who was an NSA, basically a contractor, who leaked classified reports to the media. And she was actually anti-President Trump. She's a part of the resistance. She's 25 years old. She is one of 60,000 people who work for the NSA. Did you know that less than 5,000 people who work for the NSA actually are part of the government? They have the same classified opportunities and access, but they don't work for the government. They work for contractors. Why would they have access to this information? But the cool thing is, even though she broke the law and leaked information, she ended up helping to tell the truth that it looks like President Trump, again, did not have anything to do with Russia, but Russia was trying to get in and do phishing and type things, getting into our computer systems during our elections. I always wonder.
Doing that forever.
Forever, and we do it to them too, I believe. But the point is, all these people that are leaking information, trying to hurt President Trump, looks like they're helping him. Oops, might want to look at something before you leak that stuff. So, anyways, yes, and Kim, I know that there's a bunch of investigations going on because they want the chaos to remain. Mm-hmm. But you know what? When there really is something for real, we need to go after
Definitely.
It and stick to it. Because unfortunately, I don't think the conservatives always do. And they said, well, we probably shouldn't try, Hillary Clinton or President Obama for all of the things they've done wrong. But you know what? The Clinton Foundation took a lot of money from Saudi Arabia and a lot of other countries that really didn't have best interest of Americans in mind. And I'd like to follow that money because I think there's still danger there. And we need to still know where that money is.
Good point.
All right. So next we're going to go to our buddy Guy Benson. And then in the third segment, we've got Congressman Ken Buck, who's going to call in. And he's made some very interesting points recently about the amount of money politicians have to spend to be elected to leadership positions within committees in federal government. I don't think it should be about the money, Kimmy. I think it should be about their character. I think maybe their peers should vote. So I'm excited to learn more about that, how the sausage is made.
If you're a veteran looking to purchase a home, choose the local experts at Home Mortgage Alliance. VA loans offer qualifying veterans the option to buy without a down payment, and closing fees are limited. Active duty or retired military, reserves, and surviving spouses may qualify. Kim Sturtz and Mark Cook have spent decades finding the correct loan to suit your unique financial situation. Give Home Mortgage Alliance a call at 303-888-2732. That's 303-888-2732. Or check them out on our AmeriChicks referral list at AmeriChicks.com.
Home Mortgage Alliance LLC is an approved FHA lender and sponsored agent of VA loans. NMLS number 1137507.
When buying or selling your home, you need a top-notch negotiator with experience. Award-winning RE/MAX Alliance Realtor Karen Levine has helped individuals navigate the ups and downs of the Denver real estate market for over 25 years. Karen Levine is honest, trustworthy, and has your best interests in mind. Let Karen help you find the right home for your lifestyle. Call Karen at 303-877-7516 for a no-cost consultation. That's 303-877-7516 or visit her online at karen-levine.com and tell her the AmeriChicks sent you.
Today you need to have a great online and social media presence, and the best in the biz is Desi On Demand. The AmeriChicks Molly and Kim personally work with Brandon, the founder of Desi On Demand. Desi On Demand is instrumental with our video projects, Chick Chat, Eggs, Exceptional Endeavors, and our World War II project. We most heartily endorse his creativity, innovation, dedication, and integrity. Brandon and his team bring all that to the table. Check out Desi On Demand's website at mydesi.com or call 303-359-1522 for more info, and be sure to tell them the AmeriChicks sent you.
Bookkeeping, accounting, and taxes, oh my! No need to worry about your company or personal finances with the proven professionals at Predovich & Company. Predovich & Company are certified public accountants who offer exceptional services to individuals, businesses, and nonprofits. Serving the South Metro area, the team at Predovich & Company strives to take a proactive approach in understanding your tax, accounting, and bookkeeping needs and situation. Give Predovich & Company a call at 303-791-3000 or check out their website at dpredovich.com and be sure to tell them the AmeriChicks sent you.
Oh, it is such a beautiful country. Thank God we're in America today. How lucky are we to be here in this free country where our rights are protected and our media always tells the truth and government wants to do their job for the people and they stay limited by the Constitution. What a great world it is. But, you know, it seems like lately the media has been going a little bit on a feeding frenzy, and it seems like maybe the government hasn't quite figured out who they're trying to protect and help. So I have invited Guy Benson to join us. And Guy is a very influential, outspoken millennial and a political editor of townhall.com. You've seen him on Fox News, and he's co-authored End of Discussion. Guy, welcome to the AmeriChicks.
Hey, it's great to be back. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks so much for joining us. You know, you have a lot of stuff out there right now. I've been watching on Twitter and on Facebook and all of your different blogs. And one of your most recent articles on townhall.com really pulled on my heart. And I said, I want to talk about that. You were talking about the feeding frenzies and how that undermines media credibility. You know, there seems to be so much news coming at us right now. It's like chaos, Guy. I'm like, what's real? What's not real? And is the media actually asking questions because they want to know the truth? Or are they trying to frame it in different ways that twist the truth from the American people? What do you think about what media is doing today and the news that's coming at us?
Yeah, well, the news cycle this week in particular has been just crazy, right? It seems like virtually every day, sort of early evening on the East Coast, there have been really significant reports coming out from various newspapers with lots of leaks coming out of the Trump administration. And a lot of these stories have looked, quite damaging for the Trump White House. And so the piece that I wrote yesterday at Town Hall, and I have a new one up today sort of about Comey and potential questions about obstruction of justice from the president. The thing that I'm trying to be very careful about in the piece is not dismiss all of these reports as fake news, mm-hmm. right? Just because there are sources talking to reporters and telling them about some of the genuine seeming chaos inside the Trump administration, just because that's sort of unpleasant to hear if you're a Trump supporter, that does not mean that you just dismiss it out of hand because of the newspaper that's reporting it or because you don't want to believe it.
Right.
I think that some of the stuff that's being reported seems to be pretty well sourced and ended up being more or less confirmed one way or another by the Trump folks. That being said, I think that where the media sometimes makes a mistake is they overreach. First of all, there's no question in my mind that this media is extraordinarily hostile to the president. They don't like him. They've never liked him. They've never liked Republicans generally. These people, you know, for the most part, are liberal Democrats, and they can tell you otherwise, but that's what they are. They're liberal Democrats for the most part, the National Press Corps. And so, you know, Trump, the hatred of him is particularly intense, and the left has been deranged from day one and just intent to portray him as an illegitimate president, you know, hence the whole not opposition but resistance, as if he's some sort of authoritarian dictator as opposed to a duly elected president. Mm-hmm. And what the media has done is, while they've, you know, printed, I think, some good stories and some really good, tough, hard-hitting journalism that, yes, does not reflect well on Trump, they also pile on with additional stories that are sent out breathlessly and shared all over social media that are inaccurate or really stupid or the premise is ridiculous, where sort of they're dialing everything on a scale of 1 to 10. They're dialing everything to 11, some of which is sort of laughable. And I think when they do that, all of this stuff leads to kind of the sense of chaos and doom that they're trying to create around this president. But when they miss the mark and they overstep and overreach, which they do relatively often, I think it undercuts their credibility when they're pursuing legitimate stories like the whole saga of the hiring and firing of Michael Flynn as national security advisor and some of the baggage that he had that they apparently knew about and hired him anyway. That's legitimate. You know, questioning what type of intelligence the president might be disclosing to the Russians in the Oval Office and reportedly upsetting Israel in the process, that's a legitimate story. The president firing the FBI director, I think you can absolutely defend that decision. And I think that some of the freak out over that has been completely overblown. But regardless of what you think of the decision, that's a big story. Mm-hmm. And then additionally, the allegation that Trump may have pressured in some way Comey to drop the FBI probe into Flynn. Whether or not that is criminal or obstruction or impeachable, I don't think we have nearly enough information to draw any of those conclusions, but it is a legitimate story. That's all great. But then you have, you know, I think half-baked stories and headlines that they blast out that are misleading. They freak out over a stupid tape from a year ago of Republicans joking about Russia and pretending like Kevin McCarthy, the House Majority Leader, really believed that Donald Trump was a Russian agent paid by Vladimir Putin. I mean, this was a Washington Post quote-unquote bombshell that people shared like crazy. And when you look at the transcript and the laughter, it was obviously a joke. And they tried to dress it up into something super serious. For every significant story that they're going after, they seem to misfire in another direction, and it really dilutes what they're doing, and it makes people like me and a lot of people, frankly, distrust them across the board because they're not sure when to separate what's real and what's serious from what's frivolous and biased. And I think that's a real crisis, frankly, in the media today.
It is. Well, Guy Benson, you know, you basically remind me of the boy that cried wolf, you know, and if they're going to continue to pull out these stories that don't make any sense or don't have any backbone to them, and, you know, and they're really just kind of framing the arguments, you know, based on certain little facts that don't really have any truth to them, or they're not sharing the truth, or they're spinning it their own way, then, you know, why would somebody believe them in the future? And, you know, one thing I want to ask you, just because, Guy, you're a journalist, you are a political editor at townhall.com, but you're also a millennial. So it seems to me like a lot of journalists, who, when they come out of school, they go kind of further to the left and more to the progressive type of ideals. How did you end up caring so much about conservative ideas and about American ideas and limited government?
Well, I mean, so I was actually born and raised as a young child overseas. And so I sort of learned how to appreciate America and American values from afar and based on my parents and some of their stories. And one of them, I think, that was somewhat formative for me was my mother. So I was born in the Middle East, and I was born in a country where women have far fewer rights than men, and in fact are not allowed to drive, Saudi Arabia. And so my mom told me about this when I was a young kid, about how she, as like a full citizen of the United States, and a grown woman, was not allowed to operate a motor vehicle just because she's a woman. And I remember just thinking that was totally preposterous. It made no sense to me at all. And she told me a story about the last day that we were in Saudi before we moved. I was a tiny child, so I have no recollection of this. But she put on some aviator sunglasses and a baseball cap and just got in the car and drove around the little compound just as an act of defiance. against this unjust rule.
Yeah.
And it impressed upon me earlier that the rights and freedoms that we have here, not everyone has those things. Mm-hmm. In fact, many, many people do not.
Right.
So I think that was part of my early appreciation for America. And then another formative instance was we were by this point back in the U.S., living in the New York area, which is where sort of we're from. Both of our, you know, both sides of my family are from New York, tri-state area. And my dad was working in Lower Manhattan on 9/11. And, you know, my town lost a dozen people on 9/11. And I think by that point I was already interested in politics and had been for a number of years. But I treated it almost more as a sporting event, sort of, you know, you pick your team and you root for your team. And 9/11 made me realize, oh, wait, you know, policy matters, leadership matters. This isn't just a game. I think that I was at that point became much more personally and seriously invested in politics. I'd also think I was probably a little bit more like doctrinaire right wing at that point, because I was just starting to like learn about politics, and I would listen to talk radio and I'd sort of memorize all the positions that conservatives believed in. And then over a period of years, including college, you know, you interact with a lot of people who think differently, and you start to question some of your own views and some of your own values. And then you come out on the other side, maybe a little bit more nuanced. Mm-hmm. And so I moved to the left on a couple issues, not like, you know, hard left, but moved to the left on some things and moved farther to the right on other things, and sort of ended up eventually where I am today, which is like a pretty solidly right of center, kind of pragmatic conservative with some heterodoxies, who is frequently frustrated with the Republican Party, but basically completely alienated from the Democratic Party. And that's sort of, that's where I am. And last point, yes, I'm a journalist. Yes, I went to journalism school. I went to Northwestern University's journalism program, which was not a super conservative place. But I'm not a, I do not masquerade as a straight down the middle reporter. I say, hey, everyone, I'm an analyst. I'm a reporter. I'm an analyst. I'm a commentator. I'm a conservative. This is my worldview. And you can sort of let the chips fall from there,
yeah.
Right? And I think that's, to me, that's just being honest.
Yeah.
With the audience.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what bothers me much more than, like, you know, lefty commentators being liberals is when you have people who pose as just neutral arbiters of the news, who, in fact, are not. And they are either consciously or subconsciously putting their thumb on the scale to the side that they agree with, which is very often in these cases in this industry, to the left, especially on social issues.
Yeah.
And I might even agree with some of them on one or two social issues, but like, that's not your job.
Right. Now, Guy Benson, if somebody says, okay, then where would you say to go to get where I can try to get the closest to pure, true news? Where do you point people? Where do you get your news?
Yeah, I mean, that's really tough. And I think you have to do a variety, and you have to, you know, like on Twitter. So I'm pretty active on Twitter, and I try to follow an array of people, including folks who I'm not going to agree with. I think the Wall Street Journal, between their reporting and their editorial page, because their newsroom is much more traditionally journalism, so more liberal. Their editorial page is more center-right conservative. I think if you read the Wall Street Journal cover to cover, you're going to get a pretty solid news experience.
Mm-hmm.
I think the New York Times and the Washington Post, even though they are both clearly slanted to the left, they have some extraordinary journalists who do really important reporting and have the resources and time and space to do it, that I think we shouldn't just dismiss. In terms of, you know, TV news, I think, you know, I'm a Fox News contributor, so obviously I spend quite a lot of time watching my network. I love Special Report with Brett Baer,
mm-hmm.
and Fox News Sunday in particular. And I also give a tip of the cap to Jake Tapper at CNN, who I think does a great job.
Awesome. Guy Benson with townhall.com. Thanks so much for all you're doing, for being an outspoken millennial. Everybody follow him at townhall.com. And we just sure appreciate it. Keep up the honest work, Guy.
My pleasure.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
It's the last weekend to see Pirates of the Caribbean and Guardians of the Galaxy 2 together at the historic 88 Drive-In Theater. Beginning Friday, June 9th through the 15th, it's a triple feature, including Diary of a Wimpy Kid, Pirates of the Caribbean, and Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Admission is $8 per person, and children under 12 are free. Stay for one or all three. Be sure to visit their delicious snack bar to help 88 Drive-In Theater continue to bring you the best in movie entertainment under the stars. Get their special pizza deal Monday through Thursday. Receive one 12-inch pizza and two 16-ounce sodas, all for only $11. Stay up to date on movie showings and times at 88drivein.net. And be sure to tell them the AmeriChick sent you.
Hey, welcome back. We are the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim. I am Kim Munson.
And I'm Molly Vogt.
And we are having a great Monday afternoon. That was really an excellent interview that you handled with Guy Benson there, Molly.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Interesting. Unicorn. You don't see a whole lot of those. A millennial journalist who's actually a conservative. But, you know, I mean, he was a young kid in Saudi Arabia, and his mother was not allowed to drive because of their oppressive rules on women. And I think that's one of the things is, how do you know... How do you become, you know, a conservative versus a big government person? And it really depends on your experience in life. And usually you have to become, what do they say, 40 before you have a brain. And if you don't, if you're not, don't have. So what's the deal with the heart and the brain?
Let's see. If you're 20 years old and don't have.
And you're not a Republican, you have no heart. If you're 40 years old or above and you're a Democrat, you have no brain. There you go. And the point is always just because you don't understand how government policies affect you. And that's the difference. It's not like anybody's less intelligent or anything. It's just you just don't know how policies affect you until they hit your wallet,
right,
or your health care, or your kids, or education. Yeah.
So you grow up. So speaking of growing up, though, I got a call from Chelsea Spencer, our good friend with Principles of Liberty, and she has 5 tickets to offer to individuals under the age of 30 years old. You just missed it, Molly. 5 tickets to the Western Conservative Summit, which is, I didn't have the date right here, but it's late July. And this will include both Friday and Saturday and the Saturday dinner. And then there is an event on Sunday morning as well. So if you are interested in those tickets, and I will get the exact date for you, please give us a call at 303-632-4160, or you can email us at kim@americhicks.com. And again, the first 5 that call under the age of 30 will get to these very nice tickets to the Western Conservative Summit. So that will be great.
That's so awesome. There you go.
But we're going to jump right in here. We have Congressman Ken Buck on the line. He is Congressman for the 4th District of Colorado, and he is really mixing it up. But Congressman Buck, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, and I am under 30, so does this count as one of the calls?
You're the first call. Tickets? Don, make sure that Congressman Buck gets those tickets, okay?
Nice. That's great.
Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, you've been mixing it up. You've written a book, and it is Drain the Swamp, How Washington Corruption is Worse Than You Think. First thing, I'm thinking this is not making you very popular back there.
You know, I think that's a good point. I have to tell you, I didn't go to D.C. to make friends. I certainly haven't made any since I've been back here, and I'm going to leave and do my best not to spend my time here making friends. And that there are others like me in the Freedom Caucus and some other conservatives, but I think too many people are in the business of making friends back here and not making good policy, and it really gets in the way of what Congress should be doing.
You know, and Congressman Buck, it really also has to do with who are you making friends with? Is it somebody that's principled like you, or is it somebody that can pad the wallet and help you get onto a committee? And this is one of the shocking things that I heard you say. And Congressman Buck, I said, let's get him on because, you know, the more and more I learn about how the sausage is made, the more interested I become. And confused, and the more I want to know. You were in town recently at a Salem event that we had, and you were talking about the amount of money that congressmen have to raise in order to get key seats in key committees. I never knew that. Do you mind kind of just running through that for people that weren't present at that Salem event? What do you mean? How does that work?
Sure. And I have to tell you, I've done a lot of radio shows, and the hosts come on and they say, well, your book says it's worse than I think. It can't be worse than I think. Give me an example. And so I tell them this example, and then they say, you're right, it's worse than I think. But in this case, for an A committee, the most powerful committees in the House, Ways and Means and Ways and Means Rights to Tax Code, Appropriations Committee, Energy and Commerce, to be on those committees, you have to raise $450,000 for the National Republican Congressional Committee, the NRCC. The Democrats have to have a similar setup for their membership on those committees. If you want to be a chair of one of those committees, you have to raise $1.2 million. So it's a hefty tab and not something to be taken lightly.
And is that yearly, or is that during the term, or what is that exactly? Because that's a chunk of change.
It's a chunk of change, and it's for every 2 years. So it's for the congressional term. And the way that people raise that money typically is they go out and have fundraisers in D.C., and they invite lobbyists, and then the lobbyists expect something in return. And I can tell you, to set the minds at ease in Colorado, the Colorado delegation has a fundraiser each year, and we raise money from private citizens, and it pays the dues for the 4 Republican congressmen in Colorado. But we have the same dues structure. We all pay the dues because we want to see Republicans stay in the majority, but we don't raise it the way so many other people raise it and create relationships where people expect something in return.
Congressman Buck, what about over on the Senate? Do you know what the numbers are over there because it's a longer term? Or do you know? Have you heard what they do over there?
I have not. No, I do not know.
Okay.
Now, and you mentioned, so $450,000 approximately for an A committee seat, about $1.2 million for a chair. What if you were going for, like, majority leader or speaker or something like that?
Sure. So the deputy whip has to raise $2.5 million, the whip $5 million, the majority leader $10 million, and the speaker over $20 million to be in those positions. And we have a speaker that, as a result of having run for vice president, has a prolific fundraising base around the country. And he does a great job of raising money. But those are the expectations for those positions. A little bit different because those positions are chosen by the conference as a whole, and then there's an expectation that they'll raise that kind of money. The position to be on a committee is something that you apply for, and it's a consideration that's taken into account when you apply.
So what committees are you on, Congressman Buck?
I am on the Judiciary Committee and the Rules Committee.
Okay, good. Okay, the other thing that you said that is really deceiving the American people is the budget. And I served on city council, and I realized that numbers are somewhat fungible. It took me, you know, I think I came in a little naive, and I don't want to imply that there's anything funny stuff going on in Lone Tree or anything, but I am saying that budgets are interesting. But at the federal level, you said that there's some maybe deception going on, or how would you clarify that?
Sure. Well, the federal budget is set for 10 years. So we project out 10 years, and every Republican budget balances in that ninth or 10th year. And so the first time I voted for the budget, the person from the whip team came up to me and said, "How are you voting on the budget?" And I said, I'm no. And he says, but Ken, it balances in 10 years. And I said, well, how long have you been here? He says, 14 years. I said, did they tell you 14 years ago it was going to balance? And he looked at me and he said, you're right, it will never balance. There's just an understanding that the budget is just not accurate and won't be accurate. And so the way the game that they play is they have these new spending bills, and they have what they call pay-fors, where they go out and create some revenue source. You can either have a tax increase, or you can have reduce the cost of a program, and you can use that to pay for new spending. But it's just completely made up. It's not real spending cuts that they are creating. For instance, they sold oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve to pay for the transportation bill. But they sold that same oil three times. In the same Congress, they sold the same barrel of oil, saying it was going to pay for a different program. So there's no honesty when it comes to the projections that they make in this area.
That sounds like snake oil to me, Congressman Buck.
Well, yeah, it's I haven't verified that it's petroleum, so you could be right. It could be snake oil.
Kind of like monopoly money. Congressman Buck, there's so much going on in the news right now, and it looks like hopefully by tomorrow the Senate's going to come forward with their new health care bill. And obviously we've got, you know, the Comey testimonies. We've got Senator Feinstein saying that she's thinking perhaps we might need to do a congressional look into former Attorney General Lynch. What's top on your radar that you think's most important that we should be paying attention to right now?
I tell you, I think that the Democrats are doing their best to divert America's attention from the important things that are happening right now. We have the lowest unemployment rate in years, and especially in a state like Colorado. We have an incredible consumer confidence right now. When I go to businesses in Colorado, I keep hearing about how they're doing great because more people are now buying and investing in infrastructure for their businesses. We have so many really positive economic signals that all this talk about Russia is really distracting.
Congressman Ken, would you hold through the break? We'd like to ask you a couple more questions.
Sure.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Guy Whidden, 101st Airborne, landed Normandy in the dark on D-Day 1944, was knocked out on the jump, woke up, a gun to his head. What happened next? If you love the AmeriChicks World War II project on Fridays and know a World War II vet, we'd love to share their story. We're in a race against time to gather as many stories as possible and as quickly as possible to preserve them for all future generations. So if you know a World War II vet or have that great World War II story to share, email us at AmeriChicks@gmail.com. That's the AmeriChicks@gmail.com. Freedom begins in your house, not the White House. We Americans enjoy the privileges of a free society, and each of us has a duty and responsibility to keep America's unique ideals of freedom on course. How? Lens of Liberty can help. Lens of Liberty's Free Freedom Kit provides a complete guide to help you be informed, stay vigilant, and fight back for liberty. Order your Free Freedom Kit from lensofliberty.org now. That's lensofliberty.org, so you are armed with the tools necessary to stand for America's ideals.
Welcome back. It's the AmeriChicks, Molly Vogt and Kim Munson. I'm Molly.
And I'm Kim.
And 1690 AM KDMT every Monday to Friday drive time, 5 to 6 p.m. Keep tuning in. We are on the line with Congressman Ken Buck. He's in CD4. And I tell you what, you know, the more and more I'm learning about how sausage is made in Washington, I get a little bit more upset. But then somebody awesome like Congressman Ken Buck comes out and says, you know what? I'm going to tell you how it's made. And he wrote a book, Drain the Swamp, How Washington Corruption's Worse Than You Think. It's scary, but you know what? The truth will set us free. So before we went to break, Congressman Buck, we'd asked you, given all that was going on in the news, all the crazy chaos and disruption, what do you think we should be paying attention to? Number one, you said we're at the lowest unemployment rate in years, federally as well as in Colorado. And I think that's an awesome thing to point out. The economy is one of the major reasons people voted for Donald Trump. Because we want a businessman that's going to help us get this economy going again so that we have jobs and we have hope again. What else were you going to say, Congressman Buck? What else should we be aware of?
Well, I think that consumer confidence is absolutely critical. And because this president has taken the steps to reduce the regulatory burden that was placed on us by the Obama administration, because this president has worked hard on delivering a tax reform package with Congress, I think you're going to see businesses have the long-term view that things are going to get better and that they can start investing. And we're just seeing that all over the place. And there are so many positive things going on. We're changing our healthcare system. We're reforming the tax code. We're going to work and make positive change on immigration, change that's not divisive. It's not the kind of program that will pit one part of America against another, but a change that is going to really solve problems. And I'm proud to be working with this administration and Congress to get those things done. But I think the other issues that are out there are, you know, we've passed more bills in the first 100 days of this president's term than any president back to Ronald Reagan. And yet the American people don't know much about it because the narrative from the mainstream media is different.
Well, and Congressman Buck, many of these bills are actually reducing the influence of government, which is really exciting.
I think that's right. We see, you know, the opportunity to give the states more influence over health care. And the result is states have more flexibility to create health care policies that are better for those states. And as the federal government steps aside and allows the states to have more control, we're going to see a better product for less cost. We're not going to see it right away. It's not going to happen in the next year or two. But it is going to happen as this bill kicks in.
Yeah. Well, Congressman Buck, thank you so much for your time today and for everything you're doing in D.C. and for certainly shedding the light on what's going on in D.C. The corruption's worse than you think. Everybody go out there and buy his book on Amazon, Drain the Swamp by Congressman Ken Buck. Thanks so much for all you do. God bless you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. Yeah, you know what, Kim? All of the bills that they're passing and the executive orders and trying to reduce the taxes, trying to reduce regulations, and hopefully tomorrow the Senate's going to come out with a new health care plan. We'll see if they get something passed. And I heard that they may actually be bundling together a new health care plan as well as the tax plan to try to get it done in one fell swoop. Who knows? We'll see. But, you know, I am impressed that there's so much chaos and disruption and finger pointing here and here to keep our eye off the ball. But President Trump and Congress seems to be keeping their on the ball. So that's good.
He gets up every morning. If you take a look at what really is going on, he gets up every morning and he goes to work for the American people. So I really do think that, you know, he's not a perfect guy. I get that. But I think he cares deeply about the American people. He cares deeply about the American idea. And when the American citizen thrives and prospers, it actually goes out across the world.
It sure does. And that's why the people voted in a non-politician, because businessmen know how to get things done. I'm starting to think that was a really good idea. So let's switch over. You know, Brexit, big deal. Nigel Farage is going to be in town here this weekend, and really excited. We got a great interview with him last week. Anybody, if you didn't hear it, go check out our SoundCloud, AmeriChicks.com, and you can listen to that interview with Nigel. But he is going to be here June 17th, 5 p.m. at the Denver Marriott South here in Lone Tree. And we brought Nosh in, who is with the National Asian Indian Republican Association, otherwise known as NIRA, to tell us a little bit about that. So, Nosh, give us the details.
Thank you, Molly. Thanks for having me here. I think it's very important that this one time around, we are probably going to see this young man only once in Colorado. I don't think we'll see him ever again because he's getting so involved with what the British politics are doing. I don't even think he'll have time to catch an airline flight, you know, somewhere. Yeah. But we invited him predominantly because of his outlook and his outlook on governments, his outlook on what the nation should be, winning your country back or taking your country back to its roots and its original constitution. He has preached all of those things and he's done it. There's a man who's right there, proof that it can be done, followed by Donald Trump, who came in and said, it can be done. There's a man who did it. And believe me, people don't look at the global picture, but many a country is changing its course. And we have another man in India who's doing that. Narendra Modi, the Prime Minister of India, has been, you know, he's been shaking things up there. And just like these two, he's not very popular there. And you know the old adage, if you're doing something right, everybody's going to be screaming at you. So obviously they're doing something right.
Mm-hmm. If you've got some enemies, you know you stand for something. It's totally true, Nosh. You know, with Nigel, it was interesting talking to him because he was making the case for sovereignty. And he just really does a great job. It's not like, you know, we hate the people on the outside. You know, you lock your doors because you love the people on the inside and you want to protect them. And he really made the moral case for wanting to have everybody respect the same laws. We want the same laws. Everybody's got to have buy-in. I think that was kind of a big deal this past weekend in the anti-Sharia law parades. But we'll talk about that at another time. Nosh, you are a Republican from India.
Correct.
Where in India?
Bombay, India. I was born in Bombay. It's now called Mumbai.
When did you come to America?
I came to America in 1972.
And how did you become a Republican?
Well, just like any other story, I started out being a Democrat. And shortly after that, when I found out what I was told and what really was, were two different things.
Example.
Let me give you a really good example. The Democratic Party is highly and extremely funded with some ungodly amounts of money from the unions. And what's the union's mantra? No immigration. Excuse me. So I'm a Democrat. I'm being supported by people who don't want me around here or people like me or people who bring such a lot of to this great nation of ours and contribute to this nation, follow the laws. And I ask you a question. Why are most people from other countries here? And I'll answer that question for you because it's terrible there where they came from. There is a justification of living in America. There is a glory of living in America that most people would not have anywhere else. Now, unfortunately, a lot of my Indian kids who come in from overseas now in the last few years with the incoming of all the technology and stuff like that, they haven't been truly informed properly. They've been informed what they should be informed, and they haven't had a chance to investigate it. They're young families. They're here. They're starting a new life. They've got kids, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And they don't have time to be involved. And I've always said, engage, get involved, or you have no voice. So we started NAIRA in like 2002, and we've been around since then. There was all kinds of things about, oh, they'll fold in 3 months, and just like a lot of other Indian groups, they'll come and go. We're still here. And that must say something for that. And if I may piggyback on what the congressman just said, the budgets don't match up. A lot of things in Washington, D.C. that go on, the average person doesn't know, doesn't even want to know. There is no accountability from government. And the recent change in government is bringing that about, accountability for you and me, the American people. I'm proud to be an American. I'm proud to be in this country. But I'm also proud to say that I will take up a fight and ask for accountability. And one of the things, if I may, why am I such a proponent of the Second Amendment rights? And I've spoken about this many a time.
We're talking with Nash Terrishan with NAIRA, NAIRA.com. Check it out. NAIRA.org. Go ahead. But you're from India. You're a Republican. So keep going. You're for the Second Amendment. Why is that?
Yes, I'm for the Second Amendment because purely from a very simplistic standpoint, if you give up one right to one group of people, and I'm talking about the government, any government, well, the rest is, you know, a smooth ride downhill. You give up all rights. If you get them to take one important right that's very near and dear to the American people and part of the Constitution, one of the oldest rights, I mean, it's not about guns anymore. It's about rights.
Mm-hmm.
And most people forget that in all the smoke and haze that we see from what we call the press.
Right. And the thing is that, you know, if you give up a right, it means you don't really understand where your rights come from. And rights don't come from our government. In America, we know that. Our founding fathers knew that when they wrote that into the Constitution. And when you look at the Bill of Rights, we love, one, free speech. We love, two, with, you know, being able to protect ourselves with our arms and self-defense. But I love number 9, because number 9 says, just because we listed these rights doesn't mean those are my only rights, but I listed those specifically. But anything else I missed that I didn't already give this right over to the government, those are mine too. So real quick, we got to go. This is Nash Terrishan. He's with NAIRA, and they are bringing Nigel Farage in. You know him. He's co-founder and the leader of the UK Independence Party, the face of Brexit. The event is June 17th, this weekend. If you go to NAIRA.org, NAIRA.org, you can get tickets. It's going to be an awesome event.
Yes, and to send you off with a quote, it's been the week of Normandy, really. And so this was Lieutenant Colonel Robert L. Wolverton, commanding officer of the 3rd Battalion. He said, God Almighty, in a few short hours, we will be in battle with the enemy. We do not join battle afraid. We do not ask favors or indulgent, but ask that, if you will, use us as your instrument for the right and an aid in returning peace to the world. And those young guys really did it, Molly.
They sure did. And, you know, tomorrow we're going to have in studio with the Americhicks, Rob Nadelson, and we are going to talk about the Declaration of Independence. Why did our founding fathers break up with the King of England and all the usurpations they listed? You know, it's kind of good to know why we decided to go on our own. Because a lot of people risk their lives to come here because of what we've created. We're the Americhicks, Molly and Kim. Talk to you tomorrow.